everyone. It's April, and it's the middle of December. We're walking into holiday season coming up. And I just want to tell everyone that everyone should hug your puppies, hug your doggies, hug your people that you love. It's a good time to regenerate and try to feel better and make things start in the new year in a good way. I am so lucky. My dogs are all well, all healthy right now. And as I've told you before, it's been a rough year with my dog's health. And all of my kitty cats, everybody's in good health. So I really don't have any drama to report because everything has just been humming along very smoothly. And I'm hoping that the new year brings me nobody into feeling poorly around here, but I do have two elderly chihuahuas, Nellie and Biddy. Nellie is, let's see, she's 15 years old and Biddy is 12 years old. And that's when things start getting weird. I had a bad bout with Biddy, as you all know. And Nellie, they say she has a heart murmur. So she's on some meds for that to help, you know, calm her heart down. And of course, Guinness is only 5. And he had that whole neck thing go on. So I am feeling really blessed that finally we got everybody under control. And the holidays are coming and it's going to be great. Tony, how is my little sweetheart Kai? I looked at his picture the other day and my heart just melted again.
He is doing good. He's getting a personality. Wants to be loved all the time. If I don't take him with me everywhere and I come home, the meltdown is like for 10 minutes. So he goes everywhere. Last night, Q finally crawled into bed with us. And she has done that now a couple nights in a row. So that's good. It took her 2 months, maybe longer, but now she's
Well, she had to make sure he wasn't anything contraband, you know, that there was nothing weird going on with him. She had to make sure. She did probably ran a lot of tests to see if he was a psycho or not. You know, she had to know.
Oh God. She lays on the floor and she just hits his legs. And then he plays with
him. It's so cool when the cats and the dogs, they cross that barrier. Now, the cats are always going to think that the dog is an idiot. Always.
Yeah.
All my cats look at my three dogs and go, oh, stupid, stupid, stupid. It's like when it's Odie. It was on. There's a dog named Odie, and he always acts like the dumb dog.
Yeah.
Well, the dogs just don't have the, I'll say, wisdom. They act, you know, like little monsters sometimes. And the cats, they're much more refined. They're quiet. They're calculating. You know, there's a whole different way of living life, and it's interesting to watch them both interact with each other.
Oh, yeah, it definitely is. And they chase each other crazy. So that's good.
Yes. Well, when I knew that Biddy was getting better, she was pretty sick there for a bit. I knew she was getting better when one of the cats came over and tried to crawl in and nestle in with her. She turned around and punched that cat right in the nose. And I went, she's back. Because Biddy's always a little snarky. And she finds the cat sometimes to be so annoying, just so annoying. And when she was sick, she was too tired and exhausted to react to them when they would come and lay with her and stuff. She would just roll her eyes and go, I can't do it right now. But as soon as she started to feel better, she sat up and just told that cat, it was Stripes. Stripes is one of my kitten cats in the, you know, the six kittens. He is the bully of the group. He wants to run the show. He wants to be in charge of everything. And he thinks the dogs are the dumbest thing he's ever met. So he comes over and she popped him right in the snout, kicked him out of her bed area. And I said, Biddy's back. She's better. She's been wonderful ever since. I mean, I have to give her special food, of course. And I constantly monitor her. It's lucky that I work from home because I constantly monitor everybody. But when she was really sick, I was right there. And a lot of times when I was doing sessions, she is was laying on my lap because it soothed her. And now she's pretty bonded with me. She follows me everywhere. I can't even go to the bathroom anymore without her coming in and going, well, how long is this going to take? When are you coming back? It's like so cute. Yeah. So I am really in a good space right now because everybody's well. The one thing that throws me into a tizzy is when one of my animals is sick and I can't fix it with a snap of my fingers. That always puts me in a bad space. But everybody's in a good space right now, so it's going to be good. I'm going to have a wonderful Christmas with my babies.
Good.
Okay. So anyways, let's go get Veronica. She's probably tapping her feet over there.
I know. Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to the show today. And I always encourage you to write in to innerwhispersradio.com. And that's INNER whispersradio.com. Excuse me, Veronica, are you there?
Yes, we are. Good day to you.
Good day to you. Our first question is coming from Rosemary. After my mom died, there was a lot of negativity between my siblings and I. Does my mom see all this on the other side? If so, does it hurt her?
You have to remember, your mother on the other side is now in a different space than you are. You are limited to your vision because you're in the linear. Your mother is in the eternal, and she has access to all of everyone's lives, experiences, and things that bug them and things that don't. So, yes, she's viewing it, but she's not hurt. She's not upset because she sees the totality of the dynamic, and she wants to help. We think that she will extend herself to you and your siblings to try to calm the situation. She's not upset because she realizes the core source reason why it's all going on now. Before, it was a little bit of an enigma, but not anymore. So we'd say the negativity between siblings often happens after a parent passes out of the reality. And it's usually about linear stuff. We would suggest that all of you should take a step back and think about your mom. Say, if mom was here right now, she would be upset. We know she's not upset now. And maybe instead of fighting with each other, maybe we should band together and try to find out from mom what she thinks, what she can do. And it is available. I mean, there's lots of mediums about. You could try it that way. Or you could just sit and try to feel her energy. Because we do think mom has the answers to fix the whole thing. So no, Rosemary, she's not hurt. She's actively trying to be helpful to all of you. She's not bothered by linear drama anymore, like all of you are. So she's probably the sanest thought process to bring into the situation, who can help you all decide, you know, what's important and what is not. She knows clearly what's important. We think you and your siblings don't. So we'd say attempt to connect with your mom. Attempt through a medium or however you wish to do it and see what her guidance would be, because now she has way more information on all of you and might be able to help.
All right, our next question is coming from Linda. Why is it that I can occasionally see ghosts and feel them touching me?
Well, a lot of you are very intuitive and very sensitive to energy. What you're witnessing is not so much a haunting. There are dimensional spaces on top of dimensional spaces in the reality that you're in. Sometimes they weaken a little bit. Sometimes there's a little bit of a fluid moment where a little bit of one dimension bleeds in a bit to another dimension. And that's when you see ghosts. A lot of times it isn't so much a dead person, but it is someone who is in another dimensional space reaching through, and you see it. There are those who do cross over that try to come in sometimes, and it's not easy for them. And sometimes it's awkward and uncomfortable. That could be what you're seeing as well. But most of the time, it's a dimensional space bleed. And it's really nothing to be afraid of at all. But if you do not want it to continue, if it bothers you in some way, you can always talk to the Eternal in your prayers or your meditations and ask for it to stop, that it's, you know, impeding upon your peace. Because you didn't understand what it was, and now that you understand what it was, you're hoping that they will be aligned with, you know, helping you to stop the moment. But don't be afraid of it. And don't be uncomfortable with it. It's most likely a dimensional space bleed.
All right, our next question is coming from Mary. How can I release the blockages that keep me from hearing my spirit guides?
Well, you all live in a very, very loud and cluttered reality. The energies constantly block passages back and forth between Eternal and the linear. We would say start a practice of meditation where you take time to sort of divorce yourself and step back from all the drama and denseness of linear reality and allow your soul to extend outward into the Eternal space a bit. That can help relieve a lot of the blockages that you're feeling. Your spirit guides, they've been working tirelessly to get you to hear them. But it would be very helpful if you reached out to them as well. We think that you could fix the whole thing if you do. So take time, pray, do some meditation, divorce from the linear drama whenever you can so that you can hear your guides. Your guides never leave. They're never absent. They're always there, and they always make the effort to connect with you. Perhaps you attempting to connect with them through meditation would be a good choice.
Our next question is Gabby would like to know, I just realized that I have a belief system that are not only truly mine. How does this happen? How can I fix it?
Well, when you come into the reality, you pick your parents. And your parents have a belief system in place. A lot of times they will teach you that belief system through example or through instruction. As a child wanting to please your parents and looking for structure yourself, you adhere to that because it's there, available, and you trust your parents. You get to be an adult, and suddenly the belief system of your youth doesn't resonate, and you find it odd, and you don't know what to do about it. What has to happen is that you have to know that you are taught a belief system when you come in. It's your choice whether you want to embrace it for the whole life, or you look at it and say, not quite what I was looking for. What you have to do is go on a little bit of a search to find out what belief system works for you. Then, and if it's religion, let's say you were born into a Catholic family, and maybe that just doesn't resonate with you. We would highly suggest to investigate Buddhism, Hinduism, you know, other forms of religion like Lutheran, Presbyterian, all that. Find the one that resonates with you better. And that means maybe going to participate in some of the events they have or just, you know, observe how they do things, because you will know clearly when you find something that resonates with you, you're going to know it. You already know that your family that you came into, their belief system just doesn't work for you. Now you have to find one that does. And it's real easy to go through a whole life with a belief system that was taught to you by your parents that never resonates. I mean, you might end up, you know, not wanting to be religious or spiritual at all because you just don't know what to do with it. But you can go on a search and find an application that works for you in this culture at this time. Certainly okay. Now, some of you have parents with belief systems that are solid, rock solid, and they're not changing their idea, and they may have judgment or an opinion about that. But you have to remember, they are your parents, you honor and you respect them, but no one can ultimately tell you what to believe in or how to believe in it. That is a personal moment that if you're uncomfortable with what you've got, then you need to go on that private search. Don't even announce it to anybody. Just go on the search. Find it for yourself, adapt it to your life, and be comfortable with it. Nobody's belief system needs to be carried along like a backpack. You make sure you create your own. And if you're finding yourself in that position, don't delay, because it's good to have a belief system that you're comfortable with and one that is going to help you grow and evolve while you're in this life. So think about it and start the practice if you're uncomfortable.
Okay, Veronica, that was our last question. And if you want to take a break and come back and give the message to the world, that would be great.
All right.
Well, great questions again, everyone. And I encourage you, if you want more information, definitely write in to innerwhispersradio.com and we'll get your question on the air as soon as we can. Are you there, Veronica?
Yes, we are. So, all of you are entering into holiday time. It's a season of giving and receiving. We would want to caution all of you, as you're all giving, to really understand what it means to receive. A lot of you are very, very strong in your giving qualities. You're there for humanity. You give. But a lot of times you find yourself worn out because the giving, a lot of times, who you're participating in doesn't necessarily flow that energy back at you. It's not an ebb and flow moment. It's more of just you flowing the energy out to everyone else. We say it's really important to decide that you're going to learn how to receive better. A lot of times you go, oh, no, I don't want anything back from that. But it's important to get the energy back. Just the person acknowledging that you've done something nice for them is the give back. Doesn't mean, like if you give somebody a gift, it doesn't necessarily mean they need to give it back, but they need to support the energy of that giving so that you can receive it and you need to pay attention that you do receive it. If somebody offers you something back, not so much as payment, but as a balancing moment, learn how to receive from others. We think a lot of you are very lacking in that department. Some of you healers are like, give, and you're wonderful at it. But you also have to remember to keep the balance, the ecosystem of you balanced. You have to receive back. And that's real difficult for a lot of you. So why not make this holiday season a little bit more awareness of how receiving back is really just as important as giving. And make that a practice. If somebody gives you something, you thank them because it's the proper energy exchange to do. And it keeps your soul and their soul in a balanced state. And when the soul and the body and the physical body are in harmony, there's no stopping you. So you want to have a balanced energy. So this year, as you're giving, make sure you're open to receiving. That's how it works. And it works beautifully when operated properly.
Hey, thank you, Veronica. That was a great message. And everyone, have a great weekend. And we'll be back with you next week with more questions. Bye-bye.